Let's welcome Pastor John Engstrom.
Thank you. Judy and I are delighted to be here with you today. We've been here several times before on occasion, so we're glad to be back again. It's been a while, and I know that we appreciate your pastors, Kevin and Sherry, so very, very much. We love them. We love their hearts. Know that they are genuine pastors, genuine teachers, and great leaders. And so you're very, very blessed to have such a rich ministry to lead this church. And so we're blessed to know them. I was just thinking, I think we met them in 1992. And so we're working on 27 years of friendship here. One thing about getting older is you're able to enjoy the golden years of relationship and friendship. Amen. And I'm blessed this morning to have a wife that I've been married to for 48 years. I like things that last. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have her come and share a few words.
Well, greetings. We're just happy to be here. We truly count Kevin and Sherry our dear, dear friends. And we enjoy every moment we're able to be with them and with you, because you have the same heart as they do. And we feel that when we come. And I know the Lord is with you, and He is keeping you. And I'm just so grateful for all that He does. And I was just reading yesterday in the book of Psalms how the 69th chapter, how David prayed, "Lord, let not the things of my situation in my life, my weaknesses, my sins, affect your people." And that is a summation of what he said, but that really impacted my heart. The power we have and over the ones around us, and particularly our families, you know, the covering that is provided through our stand with the Lord. And that, you know, I have some friends that have just made a wrong turn in their older golden age, and which has been very hurtful to their family. And for you know, we're disappointed and praying like crazy for them. But I'm praying, Lord, don't remove your covering from those under their covering that they're responsible for. And I was just encouraged by David's prayer that, Lord, please don't let anything I do hinder those who are yours, those who follow you. And I am I'm grateful for his covering. And we need to always be aware and always be thinking about what God has provided us and thanking him for it, living in thanksgiving for all that he has done in our lives and that covering he provides. So I'll just pray that for you, each one of you this morning, that you will live under that covering and maintained and keep standing until the end for those that you love and for your families.
Men, praise God. Well, we're hearing about growing older and the things that happen. You know, it was a golfer who went out golfing, and he got back, and his wife said, "How'd it go today, Tom?" He says, "Well, I was hitting the ball really good, but it was frustrating because I could never see where it went." And he says, "Well, why don't you take Bill with you? Because he's got really good eyes, and he can keep an eye on the ball for you." So the next week, Tom took Bill golfing with him, came back, and his wife says, "How'd it go today?" He says, "Well, not so good." He says, "Well, what happened? I thought Bill would help you out." He says, "Well, I'd hit the ball, and I'd ask Bill, I said, 'Did you see where that went?' He says, 'Yes.' He says, 'Where?' He says, 'I forgot.'" So, anyway, it could be worse. Thank God for what we still have. Right? I have a birthday. Whose birthday's on August 2nd? Wow. There are not many of us born on August 2nd. My birthday is on the 2nd. So I don't meet many people who have the same birthday I do. So anyway, we'll celebrate together. I mean, but each birthday is a warning. Anyway. But it's also a blessing that you made it through another year, right? Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I just bought a new Bible. And a lot of the verses have moved. They're not on this side of the page anymore. They're on this side, and they don't look the same. So I'm having fun reading my new Bible. I'm finding a lot of new things in my new Bible like you guys. And I appreciate that you read through the Bible and encourage each other to do that. I've done it about 30 times. I'm still finding something new every time I read it. So amen, because there's the depths of the riches. I want to share with you the riches of God's word this morning. Therefore, brothers, having boldness, verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Wow. This passage of scripture begins with an incredible declaration of what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is. Let us draw near because there's a new and a living way that has been opened to us. Let us come with boldness because we have access through the blood of Jesus into the Holy of Holies. Amen. To enter the holiest place. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's holier than the Holy of Holies. Because the Holy of Holies was an earthly place. But Jesus entered in not just to that place, but he entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven and there placed his blood upon the mercy seat of heaven forever. Amen. Forever providing a covering of sin and a deliverance from judgment for anyone who would come to him. Amen. And abide with him. And so this is an incredible, it says, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated, which he has separated, made right, made holy for us. Amen. Sometimes they build a bridge or a highway and they dedicate it to a certain person. Jesus made this way into the Holy of Holies and consecrated it and dedicated it for us. He didn't just make a way, but he made it for us so that we could go over that way and that we could come into that place. And he has, through the veil of his flesh, amen, he had to come in flesh, suffer the things that we suffer, be tempted as we're tempted yet without sin. He had to come in weakness. He had to come as a man in order to come through that veil and make this way into the Holy of Holies. And he became our high priest forever. ever. You go over other places in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews lays it out very clearly that this is done once and for all. He said it used to be the high priest had to go every year on a certain day and offer a certain sacrifice in a certain way to obtain for 1 year's time the opportunity for the people to have their sins atoned and covered by the blood. Every year the high priest came, and every year it came, there was a, in a sense, a conditional part of this. The heart of the people had to be right. The heart of the high priest had to be right. The sacrifice had to be right. All of this had to be right. If any of those conditions were right, the high priest would go in, but he wouldn't come out. On the hardest day of being a pastor, I'm thankful that I'm not the old high priest in the Old Testament. I mean, they put pomegranates and golden bells on the bottom of his hymn so that they could hear him moving around. When they didn't hear any sound, they got worried. I guess, you know, they tied a rope to his foot in case something happened in there and they could pull him out and bury him. Because you don't approach the glory of God, you don't approach the holiness of God without an acceptable sacrifice. And Jesus came and he made an acceptable sacrifice for us that we might have an incredible privilege. An incredible privilege of being able to enter in to the presence of God. And so the scripture tells us, let us. Now this is interesting. Those words don't actually appear as two words in the Greek text. Rather, it's an interpretation of the mood and the voice of the verb. And the mood is where the subject acts upon the verb. That's let us go. In other words, the subject has to move on the verb. And it's in the middle voice, which is one of exhortation, different voices. How many of you know there's a mood in a voice? My wife says, John. There's a mood in that voice. She says, John. There's a mood in that voice. There's a mood in the voice of this Greek verb that says, let us. Let us. It's an exhortation. It is in a sense almost a command. Let us go in boldly. Let us go in boldly. Because the thing is, a way's been made open. The way's been made open. There's access that the Lord has made for us. And it is to our advantage to use that access. Amen. Some of us are reluctant sometimes to use that access. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do as a pastor, I had to learn to do because I wasn't very good at it and I didn't do it very often, and that is ask for help. You know, as I got older, it got a little more necessary. I finally decided it might be a good thing. And I found out that if you humble yourself, you let your need be known, people rise up and they take care of things. Amen. It's Judy and I had to go to a funeral in Bellingham yesterday. A totally unexpected, a young man was killed in a terrible accident last Monday. It was a grandson of a dear friend of ours, and tragic, tragic day in the life of that family. And so anyway, Judy told me on Friday that we had to go to a memorial service on Saturday, and I had set up a work day to take care of something that needed to be done in the church. And I tried to talk Judy into going as our representative. She would not hear of it. And so you have to go. Okay. Again, the mood, right? That was the mood of that verb. Go. But you know what? There was a wonderful man in our church, has a van. And while I was up at that memorial service, he took care of it. Sent me a text about 10:30 last night that it was all done. You know, but the thing is a lot of times there's a way that is open to us, but we're afraid to take it, or we are maybe too proud to say, I need it. I need to go in. I need this. But there's power in the presence of the Lord. There's power in that holy place. And you see, most of us, we think, well, we're not that holy. We're no high priest. We have a high priest. And Peter says we are a royal priesthood. We're not only priests, we're royal priests. Amen. So kind of a double standing. We're the children of the king, but we're also the priests of the Most High God. Meaning that we can offer up a sacrifice of praise. We can pray. We can intercede. We can bring the cleansing word and wash not only our own lives, but the lives of other people around us. Amen. We can go to the laver of the water of God's word and bring cleansing to our own lives and bring cleansing to the lives of others, because we have been empowered to go into the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, which has been shed, and by his office now as the great high priest, having fulfilled forever the figure of the high priest in the Old Testament. That's no longer theology, it's just history. But it was a type which Jesus fulfilled perfectly. And when he fulfilled it, then anything in part suddenly was no longer important, because he had perfected forever by that sacrifice, a sacrifice that never had to be repeated again, because he offered the perfect sacrifice in the perfect way as the perfect one who came to make a way for us into the holy place. The holy place. It says, let us go. Let us come near. Let us come near. Let us come near. Again, when you come near the holy place. You know, we want to take off our shoes. We want to walk softly. But you see, in a sense, we don't have to do that because of what he did. He says, come boldly. Don't have to sneak up on God. He is not scared of you. You cannot scare him. You cannot surprise him. Amen. Because we are a friend of God. What do you do when a friend shows up at your door? You say, come in, have a seat. Want some coffee? What, you know, tea? What do you want? Okay. Because we have access. We have friendship. We can come near. We don't have to live as those who are far off. Paul says in Romans 10, don't say that God is far off. I mean, that's a pretty strong command. Do not say God is afar off, for he is near unto you, even in your mouth. Even in your mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm surprised that sometimes what comes out of my mouth. When, back in the old days, impulsively, angrily, you know, thoughtlessly, I would say something that would be as dumb as a doorknob. And just, why did I say that? But it did come out of my mouth, right? So I had to reckon with it. But on the other hand, there's times when you speak and out of your mouth jumps the word of God. And you find out that God is not afar off. God is near. He is even in your mouth. And you can walk into that situation and God can give you the words to say to that person. I'm always amazed at what God does. I love to watch him work. And so it's kind of exciting to have this opportunity to draw near. Let's go in and see what God's doing today. Let's go into the holy place. We want to only see it. We want to be a part of it. Because priests are working class folks, and there's things that we're supposed to do, and we're given a service unto the Lord. We're given a service unto the people, and we're called in the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the service, our reasonable service, to the Lord to fulfill our reasonable service in loving one another and caring for one another. So we're called as a working people into that. But we get to go in and say, Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? I dare you to start your day. Go into the holy place and say, Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? What can I do with you today? I want to do something with you, Lord. I want you to do something with me today. What are we doing today? I love the Lord. He's so creative, so wonderful. One time we're sitting at our supper table and the Lord spoke to me and said, go to the hospital and pray for Kenny. Just, that was totally out of nowhere. Because Kenny was this guy, he had been a staff sergeant in one of the branches of the military. And anyway, while he was in the military, he had developed a gambling habit. And when he got out of the military, one of the women that was part of our church had married him. And this gambling habit just consumed his life and consumed her life. Anything good that came in their house just got lost in the next gambling game or whatever he was involved in. But it was terrible, and it was no marriage. It was just constantly a woman being abused by this man's terrible habit. And finally, a very godly woman told her, said, you need to leave him because he is destroying your life and he is destroying your children. You need to get away from this. You need to leave this. And if you will leave him, then the military will take care of him. They'll put him in the old soldier's home or whatever, and they'll take better care of him than you can. And so it was amazing this woman did that. The day she did it, her two children decided maybe it was time to serve God. But they would never serve the Lord if he was a God who would make their mother stay married to that man and walk through all of that stuff. And so, you know, I kind of thought that was the last chapter with Kenny. But this eating supper, the Lord says, John, I want you to go talk to Kenny. Go up and visit Kenny and pray for him. And on the way up, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, give him a gambling tip. I told him, I said, Kenny, you have been betting on things all your life. Every bet you've ever made has been wrong. And you've lost every penny you've ever had and every penny your wife ever had. But I'm going to give you a tip today you cannot lose on. If you will give what's left of your life to Jesus Christ, he will give you the gift of salvation and a place in eternity. How would you like to bet on this? Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And my son and I prayed with him, and he committed his life, what was left of it, to Jesus, and asked Jesus to come into his heart. And as we walked out, my son looked at me and said, do you see the change on his face when he prayed that prayer? I said, I sure did. Well, his wife had gone up, and while he was in the hospital, had been making sure he was being taken care of, had gone every day to make sure had everything he needed, even though he had never been there for her. She still, in this hour, was looking after him. And so she pulled the blankets up to his chin, kissed him on the forehead, walked out of the room, and he passed away an hour later. But you know, when you go into the holy place, when you go into that place with the Lord, things happen that could not ever happen otherwise. It's an incredible opportunity to us. Let us go and draw near. Let us go in to the holy place. Amen. The holy place is a wonderful place. We had a friend, a very godly woman, who was responsible for being one of the main mentors in Judaism in my life and shared with us over the years richly. And they pastored with us for a long time before they went to be with the Lord. But before, back early in her life, she was alone. Her husband had been a criminal and was in prison. She was left alone with to raise her children. And she'd remarried a man who was a pastor. But this man who was a pastor had abused her oldest daughter. And terrible, terrible tragedy. But then one day she was involved in this Christian conference center And she was working, and while she was working, her husband came and basically kidnapped her youngest daughter. What would you do, mamas? You know what she did? She cried out, and she says, Lord, this cannot happen. I mean, in that all that fear and all of that panic of that moment, what did she do? She ran into the holiest of holies and said, Lord, we have to deal with this, and we have to deal with it now. I need her back, and I need her back now. It only take about 10 minutes for that man to ruin her life. And I want her back, and I want her back with me now. And she grabbed a friend. They jumped in the car, came to a crossroads, and the Lord told him, go left. They drove down that road for about 10 or 15 minutes and saw his car parked beside a cafe, pulled in and got her daughter back. Because when you run into the holy place, holy things can happen. Godly things can happen. And you and I have, because of the blood of Jesus, it's not our own merit. It's not because of who we are. We're no special. I mean, we are special and wonderful because we are the children of God. We're the friends of God. That makes us very special. But we don't feel like privileged characters, but we are in one sense. But we don't go in based on who we are. We go in based on who he is and what he has done and what he has done for us. He's made a way for us to go into the Holy of Holies, into this wonderful, wonderful place. And the presence of the Lord is an amazing place. 1 Chronicles 16:27, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Sounds like a wonderful place to spend some time. Amen. Glory and honor in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. Your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sounds good to me. Sound good to you? Okay, let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. No. Don't have to equivocate about this. Wonder if he'll let me in. I ain't nothing in heaven or hell that can keep you out because he's made a way in and has invited us by his word and by his spirit to come and by the prophecies this morning to come in and be near to him. But then based on the stipulation of what Jesus has done, the scripture goes on to say this. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession. It's interesting. I'm sorry. I had to study Greek for 2.5 years, so I'm going to bore you. But maybe open some windows too. This word is made up of several. It's kato echo. Kata means to throw down toward us or near us something that has been strongly established and made available. That's what that preposition kata means, something that has been strongly established and made available to us. And echo means to grab hold of and to embrace tightly. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Faith. Can you just see this? I mean, we got our profession in a chokehold. It's not going anywhere, and we are not letting go. We are going to hold fast to this. We are not going to let go of the profession of our faith. The profession of our faith is to declare openly what we believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe, amen, that he is the King of Kings. I believe he is the Lord of Lords. I believe he was God's perfect sacrifice offered up for me on Calvary, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, and that he's risen and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and that he's coming again with the angels to establish his kingdom upon the face of the earth. That is the profession of my faith. The profession of my faith is I believe that whoever puts their trust in the Lord will not be ashamed and they'll never be disappointed. But the Lord will always be there for them, and the Lord will always uphold them, and the Lord will always keep them. The Lord will never fail you. We may fail him, but he will not fail us. Faithful is he who promised. It's not, you see, we look at ourselves. We look at our unreliability. Amen. If you had a heart to heart with my wife, she would tell you that sometimes he told me he would do something and he didn't do it. That moment when you walk in the door, did you remember to buy milk? Didn't remember that there was such a thing as milk. Anyway, we don't always live up to our promises, but the Lord always lives up to his promises. And that he's, because faithful is he who promised. So what is our responsibility? Let us hold fast. You see, because a lot of times we talk about the Lord, but we don't talk about our responsibility. I love that. What is the bride's response to the Lord's voice this morning? What is our response? Men, let me give you a for instance. The angels appeared to the shepherd. You know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay. Now, let's just, for instance, imagine this morning that some charismatic's up on the hillside with a bunch of old woolly sheep, and he sees a whole choir of angels. What would he do? Well, he would write a book. He would publish his testimony. He would give a speaking tour, and he would go out and tell everybody about the angels he's seen upon the mountainside and how that angels are real and the supernatural is wonderful. And look, I had this experience. I've had this amazing experience. Well, you see, this guy's making so much of seeing an angel, he never saw the Savior. But there was a shepherd said, let us arise and go now and see this that has come to pass. And you see, that shepherd saw a Savior because he acted upon the message that had been given him. And the Lord places us in a position, will you act upon the promises? Will you stand upon the promises? We used to sing that old hymn, standing on the promises, standing on the promises. Young boy, I thought they said standing on the premises. But anyway, singing in church is not always clear. Now, what was I going to say before I started goofing around? So anyway, standing on the promises. Okay, I was going somewhere with that. I promise. Anyway, without wavering, let's talk about without wavering. That word without wavering means to not recline. In other words, don't sit back on it. Act on it. That's the thing, is we have a responsibility to act upon these things that the Lord is revealing to us in his word. The things that Jesus has done, there's a response that you and I must make to what he has done for us. Amen. And I just want to say that the importance, he says, let us hold fast that profession of our faith. This is something that the Lord wants us to do. Amen. This is something the Lord wants you to do, is to hold fast the profession of that faith. What do you do in that moment? I had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer and given a year to live. Walking out of that room where the doctor had just spoken to him, we got on the elevator, and the first thing he says is, I know that God loves me. I know that God loves me. He did not blame God, but he stood and professed his faith. I know God loves me. Amen. You and I are sometimes challenged by the circumstances around us, but we need to hold fast to the profession of our faith. We're not to parrot what God says, just to repeat it. We are to profess it. That means to let our heart come in agreement with it. Amen. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil came parroting scripture, repeating something God said, but not from the heart, just from the head and with a deceptive purpose to seduce and try to overcome. But Jesus did not echo, he did not just repeat God's word, but he spoke God's word from the depth of his heart because he had fully and totally come into compliance with the word of God. When you are reading a book by a certain author and they're stating something that is true and real, as you read through that book, you will begin to align your beliefs with that person and with what they believe. Amen. Because you are coming into an agreement with that. And it becomes not just something you heard, but it becomes something you know. Amen. And that you have experienced. John says that which our eyes have seen, which our ears have heard, which our hands have handled, and we have touched concerning the word of life. This is real. This isn't echoing what God says. This is declaring it. This is professing it. This has become a part of me. The promise has become a part of me. The promised one has spoken to me a promise, and I become a promise. I'm going to live out that promise. Oh, I know where I was going. You have to respond to these things. Judy and I got a wonderful prophecy back in 1977. We had one child, and she was pregnant with our second child, and we went to a prophetic conference in Salt Lake City, and Dr. Chuck Flynn was there ministering, and was wonderful. We'd never met him before. We just heard about this wonderful man of God, and we drove 80 miles down there to hear him share. And at the end of that, his time of ministry, he called out. He says, I don't usually do this, but he says, I'm going to call out seven people. And he called out three of his couples, Judy and I first, and then two other couples, and a woman who was there by herself, and gave a personal word of prophecy to the seven of us. And the word that he prophesied over us, well, part of that word was, I am going to give you divine health, and you're going to walk in supernatural health and wellness. There were other aspects to that. There was one part of that word in the midst of it. He just said, the terror of the night shall be gone. You know, he didn't know us from Adam's off ox. He didn't know that we had just sold the old parsonage and we were living in a rental while they built a new one. And the house we moved in was an old antique store, and it was full of old stuff besides antiques. And our son was waking up every night at midnight screaming bloody murder from having had a terrible dream. And Judy and I had prayed with him. We had bound everything we knew to bind and done everything that we knew, pleaded the blood of Jesus. But that night, that prophetic word says, the terror of the night shall be gone. And our son never had those terrors anymore. They were gone. But we had this word about our health. And over the next few months, guess what we did? We went to the doctor a lot. Seemed like everything was falling apart, and I was getting tired of writing checks to pay doctor's bills. And that was in September, finally, about the 1st of December. Men, you don't have to be this slow. And some of us men are just a little slow. I said, wait a minute. God said this, it happened. God said this, it hasn't happened. What's wrong here? And so I just walked into the Holy of Holies and said, Lord, that prophecy said that we would walk in divine healing. And I've got a whole string of medical bills that says that hasn't happened yet. I think it needs to happen because the other things that you spoke in that prophecy have happened. I have no reason to suspect that this is not also part of your word. And I'm asking you to fulfill that word in our lives. The next 7 years, it was totally different. I mean, about the only time we went to the doctor was when Judy had to go for her annual exam. There was a couple times we had a son who had earaches. We'd pray for him. And then we'd start feeling guilty. We'd take him to the doctor to have his ears examined. The doctor would say, well, he had an ear infection, but it's gone. Anyway. But we had to act on that word of prophecy. Paul told Timothy, fight a good warfare with those prophecies that have been spoken over your life. I mean, this is how we lay hold of that profession of our faith. Because as grace people, sometimes we think grace means we have to do nothing. We say grace before our meals at our house, but before there's anything to say grace over, my wife has to spend some time. Usually it's her. Occasionally it's me. Not very often. But she's always glad when it's me. But somebody had to do something before grace could be spoken over that meal. Guess what? You can speak grace over that meal all day, but unless you eat it, it will not be very gracious. And then after you've eaten the meal, somebody's got to clean up the mess. So you see, grace doesn't mean we do nothing. Grace is the empowerment to do the things that bring and enhance the blessing of God in our life. Dr. Flynn told me that grace is the operational power of God. Grace is what gives us the ability. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace of God didn't do it for him. That's what evangelicals tend to believe. Grace is coasting in neutral down a long incline. I don't have to do anything. Got my feet up. No, Jesus did it all, but there's something for us to do. And that's lay hold of that profession of our faith. Then he gives us another command. He says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Whew. Okay, let's think about this together for a moment this morning. And this means let us consider, let us take time to set down very carefully and determine a certain way of thinking or examining these things, not randomly or not haphazardly, but with purpose. It's not quick or shoddy advice that we want to give to somebody, right? We don't want to just give people a bum steer. We want to give them something that will help them, something that will strengthen them, something that will be a blessing to them. And so we need to think that something through from top to bottom. That's what this means, from side to side, from beginning to end. It carries the force and strength of a determination to resolve an answer for someone else, one another. One another. Amen. We hear a lot of that in the fellowship. We're better together. Our president, Steve Holder, talks a lot about one anothering each other. Pray for one another. Love one another. Amen. Here it says, provoke one another, consider one another, okay? How to stir up each other to love and to good works. That word provoke doesn't mean to antagonize, to nag, and to give a hard time to, okay? Just so you know that, okay? Some people try and spend all their time trying to get somebody else to do something. All right. But it means to draw close and to come together, amen, but to encourage and to make a way forward, something would happen. Coming alongside closely to someone in order to impel someone or something into action. Okay? This is what this means. It does usually carries a negative connotation, but in the context of this passage, the completed work of Christ, the new and living way, it is to provoke what the love and the good deeds that should follow what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. And there's so much to do. But let me give you a paraphrase of that verse. Let us constantly be careful and considerately observing one another, studying and observing each other until we know exactly how to incite and stimulate each other to love and to good works. If you want to know how to do this, see this woman here? She is an expert. She is an expert. A few years ago, it was a Saturday, and she, I don't know if she called him or he called her, but she was talking to her brother. And they had quite a long conversation, and anyway, she got off the phone, and she was on one. We've got to go see Robert. Well, Robert lives 2,500 miles away from us. And I am a busy pastor, and I can't just drop everything and go running to see your brother. She'd been missing him. A deep affection had been stirred in her heart. She sensed his loneliness and need of encouragement, so she began to provoke me. Over and over, she tested the possibilities of how and when we might go see him or have him see us. She got hold of my ear, and she would not let me go. Finally, I cried out, "Uncle, you have bruised me and blunted me with your persuasion." Needless to say, we went to see her brother. But she wasn't going to let that one go because she knew what he needed. And she was going to make sure we became what was needed. Okay? And so the thing is when there's a need, you don't walk by it. That's the whole story of the Good Samaritan. Just because you're on the way to church or you have some religious responsibility to do up there in the temple doesn't mean you get to ignore what's going on beside the road. Amen. That these are things that we need to see and consider how we might provoke one another to good works. I was looking in the back. I saw the picture of all of you who read through the Bible that one year and were given an award. That's a great incentive. Appreciate what Pat does to give you the scriptures to read every month so that you can stay in step. By the way, I think we're going to go home and do something like that. We've started some small groups in our church, and I think that would be a wonderful agenda that would fill a whole year for us of just walking through the Bible together and talking through the Bible together. So we're going to, it's all right if we take your idea because you have provoked us. I was supposed to come preach and provoke you, but you have provoked us to good works. See, there's things that we can do to encourage one another. Amen. And so I want to just say, you know, that God gives us the grace to be helpers. And a lot of us are reluctant to insert ourselves into a situation. But if you see a need and it's continually going unmet, first of all, start praying about it. Lord, it's not right. That need's not met. In the book of Acts, it says, neither did any of them lack anything. In the body of Christ, there should be no lack. There should be no want. When we see a hole, what do? Right, our congressmen say, go fill the hole in. No, I'm not talking about in the road. Don't go messing with the roads, or they'll be messing with you. But anyway, but the thing is you see a need, and if that need's not being met, you don't ignore it. You pray over it, and you pursue it, and say, Lord, what can be done to meet this need? What can be done to meet this need? What can be done to meet this need? And you keep it before the Lord. You hold it before the Lord, and then the Lord rises up to meet that need, and through you. Like I say, the most exciting thing to me is to walk out of the presence of God. Because after something happens, you ought to walk back into the presence of God and say, that was neat. That was wonderful. Thank you for letting me be a part of what you were doing today. Can we do it again tomorrow? Can we do it again sometime? I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want you to be a part of what my life. You've put me here for a reason. You know, I know there's a lot of gray hair in this room. Some of us have more gray hair than others, but a lot of us have gray hair. I won't go into the details, but somebody said, I don't care what color it turns, just as long as it doesn't turn loose. But So we might say, yeah, but I've run my race. I've done, finished the course. I've worked like a horse all my life. Let somebody else help. Okay, don't do that. I mean, we went to a funeral yesterday where they buried a 25-year-old boy. And I tell you what, last Monday, a lot of us had more time than he did. And we didn't know it. And he didn't know he had less. So we shouldn't look at ourselves and say, I'm old, I'm young. We should look at ourselves and say, I'm here, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. And let the Lord rise up in you and do something awesome and wonderful. Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Lord, oh mighty God. Lord, we don't want to just this morning just hear, be hearers of the word. But Lord, we want to be doers. Doers also. We want to be doers of the word. Lord, I pray that each person here right now would pray with me. Make us doers of your word, Lord. We want you to do that word to be done in our life. Let this word that we've studied and looked at today, Lord, become a part of us. Let no need go unnoticed. Lord, let no need would go unmet. Lord, there is in your body always an answer. There's always an answer. Lord, someone somehow has that which is needed for this situation. Lord, we are limited only by what we can see. And our horizons are so near, and sometimes we can't even see practically across the half the day. But Lord, you sit upon the throne of heaven and you can see through the horizons of eternity, and you know all that is there and all that needs to be. And Lord, I pray that you would lift our vision above our own circumstances, and that we would look up to your throne, and that we would come into your presence, and we begin to get a heavenly vision for our lives, and we would begin to get a heavenly vision for those around us, and we would begin to get a heavenly vision for our country. Lord, we need answers in every realm of our society, in every realm of our life. Oh, Lord, there needs to be transformation. There needs to be reformation. There needs to be repentance. But Lord, this morning, do not let our hearts and our love grow cold, but let us pray with an unmatched fervor, Lord, that those around us would not be left without mercy, but that they would find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, that Noah lived in the most sinful and wicked day upon the face of the earth, but he found grace in the sight of the Lord. Let us find grace in the sight of the Lord, not for ourselves only, but for those around us and for our society. Lord, let us begin to pray the prayers of God over the events that are going on around us. Lord, let us begin to speak your word and declare your will and pronounce the coming of your kingdom, Lord, into these things. Lord, we ask you to lift up the fallen, Lord, to heal those who are lame and walk crooked and out of the way. Lord, let them be not destroyed, but let them be turned back into the way. Give us compassion for the world around us. Give us compassion, Lord, even for those that disagree with us and whom we disagree with. Give us compassion, Lord, for them, and let us begin to pray the prayers of mercy over them, Lord, that you might begin to move, Lord, in a marvelous, miraculous way. Lord, we repent this morning for limiting you. For limiting you to what you can do. Lord, none of us would have looked at a murderer named Paul and have seen a missionary, but you did. You did. Help us to see things the way you see them. Help us to know, Lord, the things that you know, and to do the things, Lord, that you want us to do. Lord, we call upon you this morning. Oh, mighty God. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand to the Lord. Raise your hand to the Lord. Oh, Lord, we come before you. We come into your presence, into the Holy of Holies this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Touch us. Lord, impart unto us, Lord, that great grace that flows from your heart. That flows from your heart. Lord, almighty God, we cry out to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. earlier this morning during the worship, received a word of knowledge. There's someone here, I think you have ringing in your left ear. That's you. Just put your hand up there. Jesus is healing it right now. Thank you, Lord, that that's gone. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe there's a grandmother here who has a grandchild or a child who's imprisoned. And it's been a great grief and pain upon your heart. The Lord wants you to know this morning that He's the God who opens the prison doors. He opens the prison doors. And that He's going to do two miracles. He's going to open the prison doors of that person's heart to receive Jesus, to let the pain, the anger, and the hopelessness out, and let the life and the love of Jesus Christ flow in. And once he has received that love from God, and once he has experienced it, then he's going to just in a short period of time be established. And when his strength is right, the Lord's going to open the prison doors and bring him back again. But the one who went in will not be the one who comes out, because they will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. But the Lord wants you to know this morning that he has heard the cry of your heart. Keep pleading and keep interceding until you see this word of knowledge come to pass, saith the Lord. And then you will know that I have done it because I told you. Give glory and praise and honor unto me, saith the Lord. And do not despair, do not give up, and do not be discouraged by what you hear from men, because today I have spoken to you from my presence, saith the Lord. And that is the word that I want to keep and abide in your heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You're the one who sets the captives free. You set the captives free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God's so much bigger than we are. He sees so much greater and clearer than we see. Man, we started a Spanish congregation in our church a number of years ago, and the pastor invited me to come and speak to his congregation. He interpreted for me. And anyway, this man came forward and for prayer, and was praying over him, and the Lord spoke to this word to me. He says, I'm going to deliver you from that debt. I didn't think anything about it. I had no idea what it was or anything. Anyway, he came back, and 2 to 3 months later, he says, Pastor, I want you to know, remember that day you prophesied? Of course I didn't. He said, do you remember that day you prophesied? He said, I had debt. It was more than $50,000, and it's completely paid off. By the way, I talked to him this week. He's buying his third house. So he now has a house to live in and two rentals. But, you know, God's not limited. God's not limited. The Lord is not limited, and he's not limited. So ask, part of this coming boldly into his presence is to ask largely of him. Don't ask for a little. Ever get mad at yourself for asking for too little? Am I the only one? Okay, don't ask for little, ask for lots, because God's great. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to come be with you here today. Amen. It's always precious and wonderful to be with you. You know what? I showed up this morning with surprise because Pastor Kevin told me how few people might be here. I don't know who taught that boy to count, but he don't count so good. But I was looking out, looking at all of your faces and saying, this is a wonderful group of people, and there's quite a few of you. And the Lord just spoke to me. He's not done yet. He's not done yet. And I'm going to challenge you this morning to believe that by the end of the year, God will bring another 10 to 12 people into this congregation. And don't be surprised if he uses you to do it. Okay? God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for letting us share. Amen. Yeah.